Oh, yeah.
The following podcast has been brought to you by the Green Bull Network.
All right, that's enough.
I just picture Hogan walking down the aisle with the belt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to picture him doing other things with the belt. Anyways, welcome to Juice Pro Wrestling Podcast, Episode 9, Life. This week, we kind of got a crowd in the studio here. With me and Sretton the Savage today is Harry for Hire. What's up, Harry? How you doing? All right. Silent Assassin. We got Big Ed the Assassin back on the show again. How you doing, Ed?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And helping to in the continuation of the most killer crossover in the universe and all of podcasting and entertainment is Joey Kane from Musically Meditated. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man. No problem, guys.
How's that crossover, though? Is that AI crossover or what?
What's AI?
This crossover will make your knees
bleed. Remember when he crossed over Jordan, though? That was...
I don't
no one crosses
this.
Over.
He broke Jordan's ankles. I'm getting
anyways. Speaking of breaking ankles and shit, today,
let's break them ankles.
Today's a very special episode for me, and I think for everybody in this room and anybody listening, because this goes back to something that kind of was the second boom in wrestling. Like, kind of start. Everybody talks about Attitude Era and this and that, and well. For all you smart marks out there, the Attitude Era is what sparked the revival of wrestling in the 90s. It was the group we're getting ready to talk about, the New World Order, or the NWO. So, yeah, we're going to start right off the bat, just get into that. We'll go over a brief history of the guys and their appeal and their effect on the business and pop culture and everything. So we'll start off with back in the day. WCW was, this was like, what, 93, 94?
W. Back off.
They weren't doing so hot. You know, you had guys like Sting and Lex Luger and all that. Over at WWF, WWE, you know, whatever you want to fucking call it. They had a couple of huge talents by the name of Razor Ramon and Diesel, a.k.a. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, that were defecting to WCW. They were better paid. WCW was owned by Ted Turner, so, you know, Eric Bischoff, the guy running the joint at the time, had an open checkbook. Pretty much get whoever you can get.
And, New York Yankees of wrestling.
Yeah, give them guaranteed contracts. Yeah, and that was the first time that shit happened in, like, wrestling. Like, when Hall and Nash went over to WCW and got these written contracts, like, for so many appearances per year, and they're getting, like, millions of dollars, or at least a million, just, you know, to show up and do their thing. And then, they had so much stroke and power that whenever WCW would hire another big name, written into their contracts was like, okay, if you're going to pay these guys X and X amount, then our salary has to go up.
That Ted Turner money, man.
Yeah, smart businessmen, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, so getting into that, as a young kid watching WCW, and at the time, the early, mid-90s, after the whole golden era of wrestling, it was kind of flaking out as far as WWF wise, you know, it wasn't cool anymore. You know, they were too much of the over the top fucking
good guys, the good guy characters.
Yeah, the good guy, bad guy shit. You had a dumpster, you know, a guy who was a trash man, Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Very bubblegum.
Yeah. Yeah. So and going to WCW, they didn't have much of that. They just had like killer in ring action, and some of the stuff they had was a little silly like that. You know, we've talked about Arachne Man before. But to throw this to you, back in the day when wrestling, everybody knew it was fake, it was fixed, but there was still something, and I how old was I at the time? Like, we're all probably around, like, the same age. So
early teens, man, probably.
Early teens, mid-teens. Something like that. It was hard to tell what was a shoot, what was real and what wasn't, you know? I mean, there was still somewhat of a kayfabe in wrestling at the time. And I like to think we're probably the last generation that really experienced that. Because now kids just grow up and there's no argument of whether it's fake or not. It's just everybody's always known.
Yeah.
But I remember being real little and there was like, you didn't really know, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the WCW, NWO era, like you couldn't really tell.
Right.
You know,
and
because it was really raw.
It was raw and it was reality based. And so getting to my point, I'm sitting there watching WCW Monday Nitro one day. and through the crowd comes Scott Hall, aka Razor Ramon. And at that time, you got to remember, there's no like social media, there's no real internet based wrestling community like there is now. Everybody just runs their fucking mouths, and most of it is
everything's
just
all speculation and like Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and like that's about it.
That's where you got your news, you know. So you didn't know that like what was going on, because literally the week before, you saw Razor Ramon wrestling at a whatever it was, a pay per view or a house show or Raw, whatever it was. And then here he comes in character walking through the crowd in WCW. And I'll always forget, it was Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko. Like, oh, what's he doing here? You know, like they couldn't say the name Razor Ramon, but you knew. And he got in the ring. He's like, hey, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Yep.
And it was like, what the hell, dude? Like, are they finally? Because when you were a little kid, it was always like the dream thing. Which they eventually got to and failed on, the whole invasion, WCW versus WWF.
Yep.
You know? So me as a little kid, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, there's something going on, you know? I mean, obviously at the time you had no idea something like the NWO was going to happen. And they lead up to, well, he's going to bring in his next guy, his buddy. He had a big friend. And I remember the promo of Bischoff's cut. He's like, well, where is he? Where's your guy? And then Scott Hall, you know, he's doing that.
Yeah.
Turn around, you know, it turns around, and Kevin Nash, Diesel, was there. And it was another huge shocker. Like, what the hell is going on?
But he wouldn't use his name. It was
right.
Just,
they couldn't use their name because of legalities and
how'd
all that.
How did they come up with the idea to use their real name? Do you know that? Like,
I think it was just Bischoff, because the whole idea from the NWO came from New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, Bischoff had seen a group out in New Japan that was kind of gave him the idea to form like a heel group within an organization that's kind of trying to take over, which had never really been done in American wrestling at that time. You had stables, mm-hmm. like the Four Horsemen and shit like that, but they were never trying to be their own promotion within a promotion. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They were NWA, WCW guys, but they were just trying to win all the belts.
Yep.
Whereas the NWO storyline was based on essentially a hostile takeover, you know, like gang warfare type stuff.
Yeah, which eventually led to them getting NWO sold out, their own pay-per-view.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Real quick, to add on to that.
Talking to Mike.
So did anybody else enjoy the counterfeit Razor Ramon?
Oh, yeah, no, the fake Razor and Diesel.
Fake Sting sucked, too.
Yeah, bogus Sting,
know,
NWO Sting.
I enjoyed them. I know, like, I knew that they weren't them, but I was just like, this is sort of funny. It was so ridiculous.
I could get that. I could see that, but it was. I didn't think it was that. It was kind of like
Kane the fake Diesel.
Yeah, Kane was. Yeah,
but it was just like they were just like that. Oh man! Like I just remember everybody just ripping on WWE.
Oh, that's how bad they were, and so
it was just like they were so insulting. Yeah. But I love those characters,
right?
Just because like how horrible like they were.
It was definitely a dig.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, because they knew what was going on, and then this is at the time you got to figure WCW had already signed Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage. Most of the older aging stars from WWF, but were still huge draws.
Mm-hmm.
And so around this time, you know, Hall and Nash are in, and they're talking about how they're going to do a hostile takeover. They're going by their original names, which I thought was cool. Hall and Nash to this day still sounds like fucking some gangsta-ass shit.
Hall and Oates.
Cue up that Wolfpack music.
It was gangster.
No, but real quick, you remember when they would walk in on the house shows to the Fugees?
Yeah.
That was like that
killing
was
them like, softly. Or killing me softly. This song, I think that
was not ready or not. Like,
oh yeah. Okay, yeah.
But what was cool is like that was another first. Like,
right.
You don't. Like, outside of probably ECW, though, you didn't hear, like, these mainstream guys that, like, you know, sort of a peek into that world. Like, because we didn't have social media back then, but it's like, we didn't know what goes on at house shows.
Right.
Like, there was no way.
You had to go. You had to fucking go.
So for us to find out that they do stuff like this was, like, huge. Even though, you know, we're like, oh, my gosh, like, that's
made them really relatable, really like
absolutely.
Hip, really
so
cool.
Little things like that,
yeah,
like that's like
and
so
people
cool.
have to realize back then in this time. I mean, you weren't going back once again to social media and everything nowadays, where you can easily influence people. It wasn't like that back then, so it was really genuine when something like that would happen, and you'd be like, man, dude, like, you know, fuck that WWF shit. They got all these like cartoony comic book character guys, and these dudes are just real coming out with that swagger, dude. You know, and tapping into what was hip at the time. And so, anyways, getting back to Hall and Nash coming out and leading up to them, you know, saying we're going to have a third member I think it was at Bash at the Beach they were supposed to debut. And everybody was speculating on who that would be. And I'll go back to that night. This was Bash at the Beach 94, I believe. 94, 95. Mm-hmm. And so it was Hall and Nash and the Mystery Partner versus, what was it, Lex Luger, Sting, and Macho Man. And Macho Man's one of the last guys getting beat up on or some shit, or he's beating up on Hall and Nash, and you know, and it's like towards the ass end of the match, and everybody's like, well, who's the third member? And that's what it was. It was Macho Man getting beat up by Hall and Nash, and then out comes Hogan. Now, I remember sitting there as a kid, like, at that moment, it clicked on me, because no, I don't give a fuck who you say you are and what you think you know about wrestling. Nobody in their lives ever saw that turn coming. From Hulkamania and everything that he was and did, and as big as a hero comic book guy as he was, that to me has to be one of the biggest holy shit moments in sports or sports entertainment ever.
When he was walking down, wasn't it Heenan say, but whose side is he on?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. Whose side is he on? And they're like, what?
What?
Tony Schiavone. Yeah.
And I, red and yellow, too.
He was.
Oh, yeah.
He was. Yeah. And I immediately said, I was like, he's the third guy.
Yeah.
Just kind of spewing it off, like kind of hoping it wasn't, because at the time it was like
you wanted him to be your good boy, like the good guy.
I was a huge. We were all. I mean, if who wasn't a huge Hogan fan in this room as a kid, you know? So he comes in, and Macho Man's on his back, and he's just like, you know, looking around, and then he drops the fucking leg a couple times on Macho Man. And
dude,
I was
it was
my
the shirt
God.
Rip. It was a shirt rip. Everybody went crazy. Then he goes right in the corner.
Dude, remember all the trash they were throwing in the ring, dude? The most, all the fans, people were pissed.
Like, I wonder if that was underrated. Staged or no. Probably
no,
not.
No, the trash throwing
that was
wasn't.
So organic. That was
organic.
That,
it was like, so great because,
that was
dude.
Hatred. Like, that's pure
awesome.
Hatred.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to realize, Hogan. His shtick had worn thin at that time. You know, I remember watching WCW when he was still the red and yellow. He was in WCW at that point for at least
Thunder
a year
in
or
paradise.
Two. Yeah.
Thunder in Paradise. Who remembers
Thunder
that?
In Paradise.
Well, and that was the thing. It was the getting
most,
old.
The most underrated part of that segment when that turned was Scott Hall's outfit. That jean jacket outfit was...
That Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, the Canadian tuxedo.
That Canadian tux,
like,
baby.
Only Scott Hall could push it.
Stretton rocks some Canadian tuxes.
Hell yeah.
That
dude, you should. Sorry.
What was, like, you know what I miss about, like, the wrestlers' dresses back then? Like, how they dressed? Like, they all had, like, they all would tuck in their shirts, no matter
and
what.
And they all had fanny packs.
And the fanny
yeah,
packs.
Yeah, fanny
man.
Packs yeah. and tucked in shirts.
It was like that Miami Roid guy look or something, like, on the beach.
So,
with jorts.
Yeah, with
yeah,
jorts.
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
And ponytails and mullets.
Jorts and those, like, those Oakley blade glasses, like, those blade sunglasses they would always wear, too.
Yeah, those are the best, those old Oakleys.
So, to get back on point here, Hogan, you know, he ends up being the third man, and the fans are thinking, he's like, you fans could stick it. He's like, you had the audacity to boo me one more time.
Yeah,
like,
you could stick it, brother.
Yeah. So what? You saw another side, and probably everybody says Vince McMahon, you know, I mean, that's hard point to argue as far as being the greatest heel, but Hulk Hogan, to me, is the best babyface and the best heel that ever was in the business, dude. Because once he turned and became Hollywood, he did every little cheap little
rotten,
fucking thing
dude,
he could do.
Yeah.
He was a rotten little... Well, he wasn't little. You know, had the largest arms in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was dirty.
Dude, sure, and it was like great, dude.
20 years of pent up, like, I want to do this. Like, I'm pretty sure that was, like, had a, like...
Well, see, he didn't. From what I understand, Hogan, he was very unsure about it. Because even though he was getting booed, he was like, hey, man, you know, the kids and everything, like, I don't want to do that and, like, turn my back on him. You know, this could backfire at us, brother, you know. And Bischoff, and this was Eric Bischoff's call, because originally they wanted to have Sting be the third member.
Yeah. I remember I read that. Right?
And I'm so glad that didn't happen, you know. Like, they took the ball and ran with it with Hogan, and shit blew up, dude.
Dude, and another good thing about the NWO was, like, you know, spray paint sales.
Oh, my God, right? I remember doing it at school at RF writing. When I was in high school at the time.
There's a bathroom stall at my high school that was just, like, yeah, everybody was just...
Oh, yeah. I spray painted the letters NWO right in the middle of the school in the grass. Like,
yeah,
where
graffiti
did that
culture
come from?
Came back.
I'm pretty sure in this area, if you're still using textbooks from the late 90s, like, you should just open it up. And
peachy folders?
There's an NWO logo.
NWO tag.
Oh, dude. NWO, and that's the other thing. I'd like to get into that. When you think back to WCW and merchandise, even merchandising back in the day, WWF was always good at it.
They were pretty good, yeah.
They were pretty stellar. But when the NWO, and that's what Nash and Hall brought over, and even Hogan, some point, because they all came from fucking Titan Tower, you know. Mm-hmm. They knew how to run this shit in the market and sell toys and bath soap or wherever the fuck had their name on it, you know? When that NWO t-shirt came out.
Oh, forget
that shit was
that probably
white,
is
fucking
the,
hot.
That's probably, I would, I didn't do the research, I didn't look it up, but I'm willing to bet that that's probably the most selling wrestling shirt of all time.
And to now, in the nowadays where you got the modern day version with the Bullet Club, and that's kind of playing out very organically, and we'll, you know, we've touched on them.
All those guys are pretty annoying, by the way. Like, I don't know, that whole, like...
Harry for hire, thanks for your comments. No, shut the fuck up.
Bullet Club.
Bullet Club is for life as well.
It's cool, man. But the thing is, it's like, now it's like, there's so many people. Are they even still, like, who in that,
oh, yeah,
in that club?
No, there's still the core members, you know, like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes, and
I like what Cody's done with this. Like,
Cody is awesome. Andy, like, how
he's
and that like, he reminds me so
he's
much.
He's had a revitalization.
Yeah,
since
and
he
his
left.
Dad, dude, Dusty was a member of the NWO. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see, and he's fighting actually at the Sears Center in Chicago, September 1st.
I heard about
for
that.
All In. He's challenging for the NWA World Title. That is fucking cool, dude. His fucking dad won that.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
I guess
like
going to the Bullet Club, it's like I remember when it started. Like you would hear whispers around them in the U.S. like a couple years back.
Right,
and I started like reading into it, and I was just
because in Japan they were right. Just like NWO, and in Japan they encourage the Americans to cuss and shit because it's like you're not gonna see that anywhere else, you know.
But it seems like with Finn, you know,
yeah,
AJ, once they like left
Prince Devitt,
like what Finn, I guess like he's the one that had like a grand picture of where he wanted this thing to go.
It was to change the business, you know, and they have.
I feel like it's sort of like drifted away from that though, from what they were originally like, what they were trying to do. No.
Yeah, maybe a little. I think they're doing good. When you sell out into a 10,000 seat arena in at less than a half hour, you're doing something fucking right, you know. But let's get back to the NWO. No more vaping for you, buddy. yeah, but we'll go, you know, going back to the t-shirts and the merch for that. That NWO shirt was everywhere, and I'm pissed because I remember we went down to Florida. Remember, Ed, for band? We saw Coco Beware down there.
We did in the hotel.
Coco Beware.
Yeah, yeah, he was in our hotel.
I loved him. He's still alive, kid. Right?
Yeah, he's still alive, but Frankie Coco the Bird ain't.
Arn Anderson was there.
Yeah, Arn Anderson was down in Florida.
Is he a big dude?
Who aren't?
Yeah, like
I didn't meet him. Coco Beware still
fat.
Jacked. I mean, he's a thick dude, but he's still like, you know, the dude's still strong. Like,
yeah.
Regardless.
Did he have his like? Did he have anything neon on?
No, man. He was like in like some Zubaz or something.
He did have
Zubaz.
The bleach blonde hair though.
Yeah.
He was one half of the greatest tag team ever with Owen Hart.
No, God, that was bad.
Owen Hart. Yes.
What was the name of the? What was the name of that tag team?
I forget. It was something ridiculous.
Yeah,
they both wore neon green pants and like it was like
the checkered,
the checkerboard
suspenders,
right.
Like totally
amazing.
That's right.
Oh man, yeah. That's worse than American males.
Dude,
American males.
So I'll tell you what I think when that happened when Hogan did the turn,
mm-hmm.
I think I know that was the revitalization of his career. Bottom
line,
it took him from
you
literally,
have to adapt to you know.
It
stay
took
relevant.
Him from being one of the best of all time to arguably the greatest of all time.
Right.
Like it took him to the Babe Ruth of wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
He was such a draw that he had Malone and Rodman.
Oh, man, dude, like, D-Rod. Yeah. Back to that, like the celebrities
that
the NWO brought in.
Like, that's unheard of. Like these two were like the biggest stars in the NBA.
And during the finals, they were fighting for a championship.
Gave him, like, or whatever, they gave him the okay. Like think about that now. That's like saying, hey, Steph, we want you in a WWE segment during the – like. That's unheard of. Like,
yeah.
That's how big they
dude,
are.
Dude, it's funny you bring that up because I heard Billy
Carl
Cork. Carl
Malone's punk ass.
Yeah.
He
fuck
is.
The mailman.
Boo.
Do you remember, like, they were doing that in the wrestling and then in the finals? I swear it was like they were crossing
right
over because Rodman,
right
he was like trying to fight him on the court and shit, dude.
And you remember because Marv Albert was like, it's one of these scripted wrestling
yeah,
things.
Yeah, remember fuck Marv Albert. Here's a quick little NWO Dennis Rodman story for you. I heard Billy Corgan on I think it was Joe Rogan's podcast, and he's talking about back in the day, Billy Corgan, owner of the NWA, now was a huge wrestling fan, would always go to a lot of ECW and WCW events back in the day. Well, when the NWO was doing the shit with Rodman, they were getting ready to do like Hog Wild or some pay-per-view at the time. Billy was hanging out with Dennis, and Billy's like, you know, I got a lot of trouble from the executives and people at Turner Network back in the day because I was hanging out with Dennis. We would do a TV taping or, you know, whatever they had to do for the wrestling. And then he's like, he'd take a plane, we'd go to Vegas, and we'd be up. He didn't go to sleep. No. He's drinking and gambling and partying with ladies all night.
And then he'd go.
And then we go back in the morning. He would for shoot arounds and practice. And then he'd get done. He'd play the game. And then he's like, all right, we're going back to Vegas. He's like, I can't do that. You know? And this is Billy Corgan, the rock star, saying this to the NBA guy. You know, like.
He's legendary.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to do that. You know? Yeah. Like, you go. And Robin went by himself, I think, and ended up going and partying. And they were giving Billy Corgan shit, though, because they thought he was the guy tempting him with all this. He's like, hey. None of this shit's my idea.
I know. It was all Rodzilla, dude.
Yeah,
Rodzilla,
dude.
Rodzilla being the
Rodzilla man. Brother. Rodzilla brother. Remember you come off the ramp with the NWO with the top hat and shit on?
Like, yeah, and the cigar.
Just smoking. He would talk some shit, dude.
I wonder, like, you know how you guys were talking about, like, NWO has, like, a lot of, like, how it grew, like, ridiculously. I just try to, like, for shits and giggles, try to picture in my mind, like, Buff Bagwell having to, like, bring everybody coffee to, like,
be, dude, I like Buff. Don't diss Buff.
Yeah, then I
like Buff.
That's Joe's wrestling man crush. Yeah.
him and Disco Inferno. I like when Disco Inferno became a part of the NWO. I was like, all right,
you know what?
I can get on board now.
Yeah, it was a disco fever. Yeah.
It's like an easy comparison, but it's like. Because the Simpsons had Disco Stew, like, I'm like,
yeah, Disco Inferno
is WCW's Disco Stew.
Yeah. So real quick, let's go, you know, we went a little bit over the merch and early beginnings of the original members. I want to get into a list of the members because I will sum it up for you real quick. The long and short of the NWO was it started off as a great, impactful group. And I think, honestly, if they could have stayed with three, maybe four members, because I loved when they brought in Ted DiBiase, because he was the money guy. Yeah. And everybody knew he was the million-dollar man. So it was like...
Don't forget Rude.
What? Oh, Rick Rude, man. Too. Yeah,
rest in peace, dude. That
yeah,
was God,
Rick Rude.
Dude.
We love him here on JP Dub. We've done some stuff with Rick. Oh, we actually channeled his spirit and talked to him quite a few times.
Ouija.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Ouija, are you with Judy, me? Was she in the NWO?
My money, my mama.
All right, here we go. I'm going to break it down for you motherfuckers real quick.
Break it down.
Obviously, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hogan, the first three original members of the NWO. The fourth member, Ted DiBiase, joined on August 26th of 1996. After Ted, we had The Giant, which I wasn't too happy when The Giant joined. I was like,
at that point, they're getting too stacked. It's like
they were starting to, And then,
like,
and
this ain't fair. Like,
NWO Sting was after The Giant. The bogus Sting.
I hate the face.
Joey Kane hates the face. Sting. He was so dumb, wasn't he?
Who was it?
Who was the NWO referee?
I don't know. He was just some guy. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Like, I was a fake Sting. Like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't, bro.
Shredden was the fake Sting for Halloween once.
Back then, they were having... Okay, I remember this in high school. They were doing WCW Nitro parties. Like, we would film it.
Yeah.
And send it in. And and then, like, the winner...
They would come to your house, and me and Gene would be partying with you. Oh my God.
Dude, I bet. Did he party? Mean Gene party?
Oh, he's a horrible alcoholic. Hey, shout out to Mean Gene and Three Floyds. We're drinking some zombie dust like we always do.
And some Zima.
Sorry. Yeah, and some Zima.
And Zima.
We went in the time machine.
This podcast.
Go back in time.
This podcast is brought to you by the early 90s.
Zima. Jolly Rancher.
All right, yeah, back on point. NWO Sting. This was the coolest one. Even though I don't really like this guy, I did like him when he went to NWO was Six. Six was number six.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Remember 100%. They had the six ball shirt?
I know, that was my favorite shirt.
Six pack. Yeah.
Just hit a big six ball.
And then probably the most infamous the B team superstar for the NWO. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Vincent, a.k.a. Lonely Virgil.
Virgil.
Biggest I did like, and you know why they call him Vincent, right?
Why?
Take a guess.
Oh, McMahon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, he was legit. I think he was a boxer, too. Back to the next member. Shocking. Here's another RIP for you. Miss Elizabeth. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Elizabeth?
She was a member for Macho Man.
Yeah, well, she was with the Horsemen, I think, at the time. Yeah. And then she turned on Flair and them and joined the NWO. And she's then next was the big reveal. And this is, mind you, this is before the Vince McMahon, the evil Mr. McMahon. Eric Bischoff was the next guy who was revealed as...
What's his story? What's his story?
He ran WCW. At the time, he was
like
in charge.
Ted Turner's dude.
Yeah, but he on air, he was a commentary guy, personality. And then he became Eazy-E.
I remember.
We work for Sleazy-E. he became like, and he's like, now that everybody knows who's working for who, brother.
Annoying. Yeah,
you know, remember that shit?
He matched, like, he was a greasy looking.
Yeah, a little Weasley guy. And he, and he, and everybody knew he ran WCW. Yeah. And like I said, this is before Mr. McMahon. So who took from who, for all you haters out there?
Dude, Bischoff had that little Weasley.
Yeah, he had that Weasel look. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Still don't like that, dude.
Just so, he looks like a weasel.
Here we go. Joey Kane, this one's for you. The next male. The next male. Well, that kind of goes good with it, because the next American male to join was Buff Bagwell. Marcus Alexander Bagwell, who is the brother of, I think, Jeff Bagwell, baseball player.
Was he?
Yeah, that's his brother.
Really?
Yep. Well, is it really? I didn't know that.
No way. It is. It is totally true. They are siblings.
Google it.
Jeff Bagwell is a bad dude.
Yeah. Marcus Bagwell ain't shit if it wasn't for the Patriot.
The
Patriot. The wrestler, the Patriot?
Did you just stump the Jews?
He wasn't the Patriot.
You just stumped the Jews.
They were a tag team, though.
Look,
was it no? Because
stumped.
With who?
The Jews
with
Bagwell.
What was it called? It wasn't the American. Because Scotty,
I feel like we're playing like a stump the Jews.
I think I know. Like, I kind of remember.
No, this is like the Jews time got when stump in his pants. Would just like throw people together and be like, "You're a tag team," and they would front pair back, someone like Buff Bagwell and the Patriot together. Like,
yeah,
just put them together.
Well, he was good. You know, I did kind of enjoy Buff.
Buff was cool. He was just like he was an asshole. He never really fought. Like,
here we go. Here's where we start getting.
Yeah, he was arrogant.
He couldn't, because he'd probably.
Here's where we start getting into the list of just bullshit names. Kind of after that, Michael Wall Street, who most
Irwin,
R. Scheister, yeah, IRS. Remember?
Oh yeah, damn.
It was him. Then Big Bubba Rogers, another R.I.P.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
If you ever take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you'd be looking for some hard time.
That dude can ring.
Yeah, he was a good big man. Yeah. R.I.P. Next, this guy I always liked, though, Scott Norton.
I love
Remember
Scott,
the Iron Gut, dude? He was like a legit strongman, like arm wrestling guy.
Was he the biker gimmick guy?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. They were all somewhat like fucking.
He looked like
bikers.
An outlaw, you know.
Yeah,
guy had
huge mullet
at the bar.
Yeah, Scott Norton, he was cool.
Mullet, no mullet.
After Norton, Masahiro Chono. You guys remember Masahiro Chono?
I don't.
From New Japan Pro Wrestling. He had the mullet, big, tall Japanese dude, kind of wore the shades.
Was he in like?
He was the NWO Japan too. They had like a Japanese branch.
I don't remember him.
All right, we'll move on to next, because you guys all know who the next one is. Randy Macho Man Savage, dig it.
Speaking of which, don't we have him in the studio?
I don't think he's anywhere to be found today.
He's like this one. He's like the original KD.
he's Macho Man is the equivalent of Kevin Durant, dude. He jumped ship to the winning team, dude.
He did.
He
did.
You know it's that old age if you can't beat him, join him.
National TV. Like forever, he's going to be.
Where's Elizabeth?
Yeah, he's getting there because Elizabeth's tramp ass.
Yeah, you got to follow that set, you know?
And then he joins.
And then he joins him. It's like, dude, what the fuck, man?
Dennis Rodman, the Worm, big Worm up in this motherfucker as the next member, followed by one of my personal favorites. And I think if you were to tell, we were talking earlier about great Asian wrestlers, I think my favorite would probably have to be the Great Muta. I really love the Great Muta. He was badass. And still to this day.
It's so
great.
They just picked everybody that they wanted. They're like,
then you had
really good.
Tenzan, who I don't really remember. Oh, he was an NWO Japan guy. Then Conan, K-Dog. Then here's
K-Dog.
A good one. I love Kurt Hennig. Mr. Perfect.
He's my favorite of all time.
He should have been an early on member. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fit that because to me, the NWO was like, okay, we're all ex-WWE big top
but
names.
They had him doing some cowboy gimmick at the time. And
the West
shit,
the West Texas Rednecks? Yeah.
And singing.
Rap.
The best wrestlers in the world. No, like, I'm in fucking.
He easily could have been top five.
Bad booking. And then after him was his brother in arms from Minnesota, Ravishing Rick Rude. Followed by this, who I don't remember him joining, Louis Spicoli. Remember Louis Spicoli from
Spicoli
ECW?
Driver.
I think he was from around here.
Really?
He was as a valet for Scott Hall, and then he died. Hey, yo.
Wait, kayfabe died? Or
no, he's dead.
He dead. He gone.
He gone.
Well, at least he
shout out to Hawk Harrelson.
Like, wait, he was NWO?
Apparently.
He was the manager for Scott Hall. And then after Louis Spicoli, we had the America Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Dude, he had such a weird voice.
Then the son of a plumber.
Wait, didn't Cody Rhodes like talk about like how he took a lot of shit in high school? I remember.
I'm sure.
Like,
God, his voice was awful. Yeah, he had a bad.
I liked it though. It was good. Fuck you guys.
It was good.
And then next we had Brian Adams, aka Crush. Remember from the Demolition? The Kona Crush brother.
That's Brutus, right?
I know. I don't think he was confused on what he was, as well as I was confused on what he was.
Steve Cake became Crush. No?
No, he became like the Zodiac and the Booty Man. Remember, he was the Booty Man? He became the
disciple.
In WWE, he was the Crush, right? He was...
No, Brutus wasn't.
No,
Bryan Adams was.
Bryan Adams was Crush. Yeah.
But it's funny you did say that, because after that was the disciple, which was Brutus Beefcake.
I thought, which one's Adam Bomb?
I like
Oh, Adam Bomb was not Mortis, but he was in Wrath, I think, in
Wrath,
WCW.
Yes, he was.
When they had the Mortal Kombat characters.
They all look alike, and they all like shared their gimmick or something.
And then probably one of the biggest shockers in a long time, the joint of February of 98. Big Papa Pump, Scott Scotty, man!
He was my favorite, dude.
he was
the best. He was the
What do you guys think? You got some Scott Steiner memories or what?
I think we should take a visit to his Hardee's.
Yeah, he does have a Hardee's.
Yeah.
He does.
And just like order like his food using his equation.
What'd you order? I'd like 53 and 1 half. No preservatives. I don't want to get fat.
Like, you know, you expect him, like, you go there to him to be in character. Watch, he's like super fucking professional when you go there.
He was on the news a year or two ago for that, because that Hardee's, there was like a shooting or something there. And then it's like, Scott Steiner. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's right. And then in Georgia. It was in Georgia or something.
Yep.
Like, can you imagine walking to a Hardee's and him being like, hi, welcome to Hardee's. How may I help? Like, all chill like that.
So after Scotty Steiner, who we all know and love, I've assisted him in a match beating up referee, true story, me and Scott Steiner are bros. Nick Patrick, remember the NWO referee?
Oh, yeah, that's his name. We were talking about that earlier, the NWO referee.
The corrupt referee.
He's the one that had the goatee,
yeah.
right? The goatee curly mullet.
Curly, he looked like a weird Kenny Powers.
Greasy curly. they had their own ref, man.
So then we had Bret Hart, who was like an associate. That's really all I'm getting. Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
Dude, you forgot.
God, why?
Forgot Disco Inferno.
It's coming. Oh. Horace Hogan.
Dude, Horace Hogan was massive. He was a massive dude.
Barry Windham.
Oh, I love Barry Windham.
Barry Windham was cool, but like NWO, this is what I'm getting to. NWO was so awesome, and they did so much cool shit, and you guys can go online or go on the WWE Network and check out all this stuff we're talking about, or anything we may have not touched base on. But the whole downfall of this group was, it was like, dude, they just threw too many fucking people in. They had their own pay-per-view, the sold out, which was cool. You know, I mean, if you go back and watch, they had a cool vibe in the beginning. Open, it was like the black and white screens, and they're all on these semis that had NWO, and they're riding like in Harleys and shit. And like, it's just very raw, very cool visuals, you know. But then when they got into like the actual matches and stuff, they had like Eddie Guerrero wrestled. I'll never forget, they had him come out. And they'd have his music, but, you know, remember the NWO voice?
Yeah.
That was, they'd have the Mexican jumping bean, Eddie Guerrero. Like when he came out, like just making fun of the WCW guys. Like when Hogan used to come out, he'd be like, the greatest icon in professional wrestling. But, you know, the downfall was all these guys joining. And then they splinter into two groups. You know, the NWO Wolfpack, which broke off from Black and White. It started gang warfare, pretty much.
It was gang warfare.
It was. You had Kevin Nash leading the Wolfpack along with Conan, Sting, Luger, and the Macho Man against NWO Hollywood, which was basically anybody left in the fucking NWO at the time, which is still a shit ton of guys, you know? So they started doing that, and I don't know. Do you guys have any NWO shirts in school?
Oh, yeah. I had the original, the OG one.
I had both the OG red and red.
You know what? I could never get into Wolfpack, man.
I had the red one with the black.
Nice.
Oh, that's
nice.
Awesome. That's cool.
I was never a big Wolfpack fan, but I did like the red and black, though. I remember I had the black with the red logo and some red Dickies, dude.
Scott Hall's outfit was awesome with the blood.
Yeah,
oh, dude.
Yeah.
It looked good, man.
Yeah.
Dude, and you know what was awesome, too, back in the day is, like, being a Bulls fan, you got the Jordans and stuff like that. And
it
what was
match,
it, like,
it would match your outfit.
96, 97, dude, they had the black and red Jordans and then the black and white. Dude, it was like the Wolfpack and the Wolfpack NWO and Jordan 12s, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was the one with like the arch. Right
it was
there,
oh yeah,
right?
It was perfect. That you know, when you got to think about it as a kid and everything like that, you know, wrestling, and then all of a sudden, you know, what are two of the biggest things at that point in time?
The Bulls and NWO.
Exactly.
That was the greatest.
Black
in
and
the
red,
Midwest,
baby.
Dude. Yeah. If you weren't in the 90s, in the mid 90s, late 90s, in the Midwest, like Chicago, Northwest Indiana, you know what the fuck California, all that shit.
I know.
I know what was going on. We were winning rings and buying things. You know,
winning rings, buying things. Yeah. I spent more money on spilled alcohol.
Woo! Yeah, remember
Space Mountain, baby.
Flair was always fighting against the NWO.
I remember
Flair was always getting jumped,
dude. They'd beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Flair all
the
time.
Oh, there it is. there's the infamous leg drop. I remember them.
Damn, Flair took some.
I remember Flair, them coming out in black Hummers, and they all had burglar masks on, and they were kicking the shit out of Ric Flair. It's like in the desert or something. Like,
yeah.
You guys ever notice when Hogan spits on things, he over exaggerates by like pop, like cocking his head back like 10 feet? Like,
oh, yeah, that's because he's jacked, brother.
Yeah.
That dude is... But yeah, Flair was always getting jumped.
Yeah, Flair was always getting, and then they spray painted, remember the stripe on his back like a skunk? He was wearing those green tights.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, dude. The NWO thing was amazing for me when Shane bought WCW, and then that whole invasion angle.
Well,
and
we'll get to the invasion real quick here. We'll kind of finish up with the WCW era. So you know, NWO got too big for its britches. Then they were feuding between each other. Then there was, believe it or not,
egos.
An LWO, Latin World Order, Latino World Order.
Weren't you in the LWO?
I think it was.
El Juice?
El Hugo de Cristo. So, you know, it got weak. And then they kind of killed it off for a little because it was hurting more than it was helping. And at the time, you had WWF was breaking in with Stone Cold and The Rock, and those guys were starting to get huge. And they were bringing in Tyson and all this kind of more edgy, cutting-edge stuff. They did bring back another version of the NWO. Which was the NWO Elite. This all goes back to the infamous moment where a lot of people say it was the end of WCW as far as their booking and just existence, the finger poke of doom.
Yes.
It was supposed to be Hogan was retiring, kayfabe retiring, whatever, and then it turned into a match with Kevin Nash for the world title. And Kevin Nash was still the leader of the Wolfpack. You had Hollywood, who was NWO Hollywood, and the whole thing was like Hogan was going to retire if he didn't win the belt and blah, 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 all this shit. They get up there, bell rings, Hogan goes to punch and just pokes him with his finger, and Nash falls down. They swerve it everybody. Sucked, yeah. It pissed a lot of people off. Sucked. And it,
yeah.
I remember that.
I thought it was cool that they ended up getting back together, but the way they did it was pretty shitty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're insulting your fans' intelligence at that time.
Big
you know?
Time. Big time.
So that group consisted of Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Lex Luger, Hollywood Hogan, Scott Steiner.
Wasn't Conan? No.
I don't think Conan. No, I think they kicked
Jeff Jarrett.
No, Jeff Jarrett was a part of the after the NWO Elite. You know, that kind of fizzled again, and Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara came in. Then they tried to bring it back again with the silver and black NWO. NWO 2000. It was Jeff Jarrett,
was
Hall, Nash, Steiner. Hashtag the band's getting back together. You know, or the band's back together.
It seems like he's been a part of like every stable in existence for the last 10 years, man.
Jeff Jarrett? Mm-hmm. Yeah. God bless his soul. So then after that, like you were saying, Ed, going into after, you know, the NWO 2000 thing kind of fizzled out. And we all know what happened when WCW getting bought out in 2001. And then because a lot of those guys were still under contract with Time Warner, Vince McMahon didn't want to buy him out. Because they were guaranteed contracts. We're talking millions of dollars for Hogan. That's why when the invasion happened, you got a shit storyline. Because guys wanted to see Goldberg come in and fight Stone Cold or Hogan and Stone Cold. But these dudes had contracts that they were just going to ride out. I mean, what would you do? Would you would you sit at home or go do shit with your family and get paid millions of dollars? Or go to work? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
I know what Sean Stasiak did.
Meat?
He's like, oh.
Yeah, he went there. He had to. He had no choice.
He's like,
and now he's a real estate guy.
Doesn't Justin Credible own a fucking...
PJ Polacco?
I think
he owns a bad drug habit right now. I think he's getting over it, so kudos to you. Yeah.
But the invasion angle, they really messed up.
Didn't work.
Time.
And so it ends up being, what is this, 2002 or 3? I think it was 2002. Where Ric Flair, kayfabe, buys half of the company out from Shane and after the invasion shit, and McMahon's pissed. He's like, you ruined my company. And he's like,
No one's going to kill it.
I'm going to kill what I created. I'm going to inject it with a lethal dose of poison. I'm going to inject it with a lethal dose of the NWO.
And the next week they come out
Shawn
there and
Michaels
they're like, oh.
Shawn Michaels did end up being
the
in
click.
One. Yeah, but they brought back the original three guys. Now, mind you, this was the first time Hulk Hogan, who was probably the most important part of any of those guys returning, because we're talking about the house Hogan built, you know, coming back after being gone for, what, like 8 or 10 years, something like that?
Yep.
And it was a huge, even though he was coming back as a heel, he got in the ring, and, dude, everybody's cheering for Hogan, you know, because They want the red and yellow. They don't care if it's Hollywood, red and yellow, whatever. Long story short, it leads up to a WrestleMania match with The Rock. Epic fucking match. I thought both those guys, and especially for Hogan being in the condition and age he was, it was good. It was a solid match.
But the crazy thing is Rock was so big back then.
That fans turned on him.
The fans turned on him over, like, they the wanted nostalgia, Hogan. Dude. Yep.
And they I were did. In Canada, and Canada, the huge Rock wrestling sucks, fans.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't
if
like
you the, smell, yeah. la 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 la.
I don't like The Rock, so like I was digging that.
But okay, dude, it was all. Well, here's the thing, dude. Is that I was a huge
girl
Hogan
at
fan,
the Rock
so
show.
Even over those two, dude. I was a huge Hogan fan, mm-hmm. and like,
oh yeah,
it was awesome. Four and hey, and how you were talking about earlier, how he was like the ultimate heel. Dude, it was yeah. great, dude. You remember, like, Rock's on the ground, and he scratches his back with
yeah,
the nails,
yeah.
and then, dude, and then he pulls out the belt and starts whipping him.
Yappa pie, strap match, brother.
I don't remember this, but wasn't Stone Cold versus Hall on that?
Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Didn't that match get a lot of
Scott Hall took the best bump for a stunner, though. Man.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
I remember that.
He was a drunk,
that
though.
Match. I enjoyed
Such
that match,
drunk.
But
I
it got a lot
Hall,
of
though.
Shit, though.
hey.
Dude, he's one of my favorites, too.
Hey, yo.
Dude, it was awesome, though. He took great bumps whenever he took a stunner. But
he took bumps in the bar, too, real great.
Yeah.
A significant amount of bumps in the bar. Key
dude,
bumps.
He gets a car so, quiet. He didn't even know how to say hey, yo anymore. He forgets it.
So the story of the NWO in WWE is it wasn't going to work. I mean, it did for a hot second, but it wasn't going to work because everybody knew that once Hogan came back at some point,
red and yellow.
Yep, and it happened.
Red and yellow.
And he did, right after that, you know. So Hall and Nash come out, and they kind of beat them both down because he, like, shook The Rock's hand afterwards, like, good sportsmanship. And they're like, fuck it, we're NWO.
We're
going to
beat
us.
You down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I loved about the
bringing
NWO.
Bringing the 90s and the 2000s,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Jumping people.
Yeah, dude, just always, all the
Gang
time.
Gang warfare yeah. all the time. I love that part. Of
yeah,
it.
It was great.
It was the best.
Hogan.
After Hogan went good, and then I think Hall, they fired his ass because he was a drunk. Yeah, and like you said, Harry for Hire, who'd we have in there? Shawn Michaels came out, Big Show, Booker T.
At
that point, that's when the NWO was dead, you know?
For sure.
And, you know, it just fizzled out and it was done
after
that.
Could you see
that.
It, if they ever did bring it back, let's say WWE wanted to...
There's been plenty of opportunities.
Like, let's say right now, and they wanted to kick their idea, could you see it happening in today's landscape, though? If they wanted to bring it back in today?
Yes and no.
If they did it right, and who would you want to put in there?
I don't know. I love the idea of Hogan going and being like the godfather for the Bullet Club. I just saw a picture on Twitter really? Of Matt and Nick Jackson hanging
cool.
out with them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that would be because it's they're dude. The Bullet Club is DX and NWO mixed together.
For yeah,
you know, it's those guys who grew up watching that shit and now yep. they're making it their own, dude. So kudos to them. You know, I think something like that and to involve Hogan, like I said, it's like a Godfather OG, and he's like, if you brothers ever need help, you know where Hollywood's at. I was like, dude, it's fucking for
dude,
life.
Dude, and that's the best part,
it's a
part,
way of
dude.
Life for life.
Hollywood, life. Like, it was always the Immortal Hulk Hogan, Immortal Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Dude, it was great, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, when Hollywood got attached
dude,
to it, dude,
man.
It was the greatest
thing. He was Pimp Core.
Hollywood, dude, bum, bum. For sure.
Can I get a too sweet? Too sweet. Turkish Wolf, throw it up.
Dude, it was great.
What's the origin of the
so
Turkish
Hogan
Wolf?
So Hogan was like...
The origins of the NWO, which is a big thing now, because now the Bullet Club uses that, which, you know, spanning the influence of this group. Again, here we are 20 years later, and we're talking about the fucking NWO. The hand gesture.
Yeah.
Which looks
yeah.
like a wolf. It's the Too Sweet Me sign.
Mm-hmm.
the Too Sweet
Me. It's a Turkish wolf. And what it was is they were on some kind of European tour or some back in the day. This is when it was like the click. So you had Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Triple H, Scott Hall, and X-Pac. We're all tight boys in the back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Waltman like came back and like just I think either he was out there or he saw something about like some Turkish mafia thing or whatever. And it was like throwing up the Turkish wolf. And so they just do it like...
Yeah,
you know, it became that. That's first, cool. It was the click thing, and then when Hall and Nash went to, you know, WCW and became the NWO, that was what it was. It was
for
throwing
the
it up. Yeah, and dude, it was so fucking cool. I remember going to high school and shit like that. I'd get kicked out of classes because I'm
doing it.
Talk about NWO.
If you want to talk about the NWO, you can do it in the hallway,
Mr. Wells.
Yeah, Mr. Wells. I'd come in and see a bunch of notes on his board, and I'd be like, immediately, I didn't see him, so I'd be like, fuck these notes. I'm fucking writing this shit down. Fuck that.
Is that Scott Steiner or was that you in high school?
I was Scott Steiner in high school. Fuck this shit. And then I got kicked out in the hallway, so.
Damn.
But, you know, going back to the NWO's influence on everything, like I said, we wouldn't have the Bullet Club today. You wouldn't have DX if there wasn't NWO.
You wouldn't have DX. I don't think that DX wrestling sucks. Would be. I don't think wrestling would be in the pop culture that it is right now. I mean, look at it. Look at it when sports teams win like a championship. Do you remember when Cleveland won the championship? Kevin Love comes out of the plane and he's got the belt.
Yeah,
you know, he's got the belt.
Do you remember they had actual NWO jerseys for Cleveland? They had the black and white ones.
That was Miami.
Was that?
Oh, dude, they were awesome though.
Yeah, that was. If they were the NWO jerseys,
dude. Yep.
Everybody was pissed that those guys went there and they were the new NWO.
I was pissed.
They
were. Yeah, I was pissed. That was an
NWO heat, man.
Yep.
Total NWO.
Another thing I'd like to talk about, because you know, and especially having Joe here, a musically meditated podcast, which you can check out on the Green Door Network and iTunes and YouTube and any podcasting platform.
Any platform.
You can tweet at Music Med Podcast, and he's on Instagram at Musically Meditated.
And Facebook.
Hit it all up.
And everything. See if you can give him a reach around.
Yeah. The Grim Reaper reach around.
The Grim Reaper.
But I'd like to talk, because, you know, we've all, I'm sure, in some way been impacted by some wrestler's theme song, you know, whether you're a little kid or high school or now. The NWO theme song.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, it's got to be one in my
the greatest.
One of my top 10, top 5, top 3 theme songs, because it's so cool. And all it is like chopped up Jimi Hendrix shit.
It is.
It's called Rock House.
Yep. Who did it? Do you know who? Did they just have a regular person in the studio doing this, or was Hogan behind it? Because I know Hogan plays bass, right?
Hogan does play bass, but he had nothing to do with...
Dude, I'd start a band with Hogan.
Oh, I know, absolutely. You'd sell out.
Oh, dude, yeah.
He wasn't
Hulk Hogan's
a bad
wrestling
player.
Boot band.
Remember those old videos with him playing bass?
The American flag?
Yeah. What was he using? That was like a crazy old like Ibanez bass or something, like a Warlock, a BC Rich. Or...
Oh, yeah. He had those brown tint 80s glasses.
There it is. It's called Rock House. It was by someone named Frank Shelley. Used by NWO Black and White Hollywood, blah, blah, blah.
But it was like a chopped up Hendrix song.
Yeah. Oh, here's the remember the B-card theme song? Here, let me see if I could dial that up. The NWO, it's like, it's whenever the Buff Bagwell or any of the B-list guys would come out, they'd come out to the NWO beat.
They played a shittier version. Like, yeah. they weren't worthy of the real NWO entrance.
They just hit the C button on an old Casio keyboard, dude.
This is the anti-Buff Bagwell episode, man. Everybody's hating
on Buff. I'm not hating on Buff, but
dude, he's
I'm
kind getting of offended. Offended.
Yeah. I'm hating on Buff, dude.
He had a lot of charisma, man. Leave him alone. He just jumped in on a jump.
Do you remember? Wait, didn't they put his mom on a pole?
Here you go. Here it goes.
In a match?
She's been on a pole in many a matches. Oh, that. Never mind.
What kind of match are you talking
about? Here we go.
Wait, what is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Remember this shit? Doom, 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 doom.
That's like a ringtone, dude.
That's like a shitty ringtone. Yeah. Like. That's like a ringtone that's the stock bullshit when you get a new phone.
It's like the kind of music I got in a NASCAR video game in the background.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it sounds like.
Ace Combat or some shit. Need for Speed Cruising.
So you had that, and then, you know, you also had, for the red and black, you had the NWO Wolfpack theme song. And do you guys remember that? C-Murder. Do you guys remember?
The Wolfpack theme song.
Oh, it's all gangster.
Oh, yeah. When I'm up. When I'm up.
Yeah.
Back is back.
Oh,
yeah. You remember,
can't
dude?
See the bad boys of wrestling. Dust the competition.
It was totally gangster. This is great.
Dude, that was...
Conan, remember he'd come out looking all low?
Yeah, dude. He was great on the mic, and he still is to this day.
Yeah, he would rap.
He was Vatos Locos.
Vatos Locos. Yeah. Thank you, Eddie.
Hey.
But he'd have, like, the flannel on.
Hey.
He'd have the flannel on where just the very top button. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd have the hat and the...
Odele, viva la raza! So yeah,
what, the
NWO
wrestle,
Red. Even though I didn't like them, I liked that song, man.
You didn't like the Red?
I didn't really like them as a group because I was NWO Hollywood. It's like the Sox and the Cubs. You have to pick one.
I was always
one.
A Scott Hall guy. Like
my
Stratton.
World.
Stratton, you were Hall all the way, right?
Any world.
Yeah.
Good.
Stratton Scott Hall all the way?
Right.
All right. Is that your favorite NWO member?
Yeah. No, because me,
hey,
Jolly.
Yo. Hey, yo. Dude, and then, of course, Hollywood's entrance, dude.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's hear that.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you all know this, but
it's still great, dude. I like even in the beginning when it, like when they would patch in like the NWO, like throughout the beginning of it, dude, it was awesome. When I got married, I came out to that.
Yeah, I remember I was there. Yeah. I was there, dude.
Was our entrance song. It's hilarious, dude. Hey, the wife and I, we both had black and white boas and everything, dude. It was awesome.
Americans get the truth. Quit smoking.
You gotta skip those ads.
I know.
Oh yeah.
This is what Dennis Rodman.
That he's gone in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one.
Hogan coming out, dude. It's still to this day makes someone go fuck someone up, dude.
That's Hollywood.
And then like be cool about it though. That was the NWO shtick. They would
beat
your ass,
shit out of somebody.
They were so gang mentality, but they were so cool.
And then
beat
your ass after with all their bullshit.
Yeah, so they beat the shit out of Macho Man. They were so cool about it that a few months later, Macho Man's like, "Hey, dude, can I be part of the NWO?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you can't beat them, join them. Yeah.
He was just following old girl.
Yeah, he was. You know, he
was
whipped
like that.
And they were all beating on Elizabeth. He wanted a piece of that tuna pot pie.
What happened to her? She passed away?
Yeah, sadly, she passed, I think, early 2000s.
What
she
happened?
Was dating Lex Luger. And, you know, they were wrapped up in that drug game. And she was taking a bunch of pills or something, OD'd, and he found her.
Those pills kill, man, for sure. Yeah. And it happens a lot with these wrestlers, you know, because they kind of hide it and...
So, you know, kind of going back to NWO, obviously we all had great times watching this stuff, and still to this day, it's cool to go back and look at some of this stuff and laugh and, you know, how silly some of this shit really is, but at the same time, still real fucking cool. What would you guys say would be your favorite NWO moment?
I would say the best NWO moment, I still think the best one was when Hogan turned, but I still think probably the best NWO moment in general. I liked it backstage when they would just like destroy stuff, kind of like what we were watching earlier, how they flipped the
lawn dart Rey Mysterio into the van.
Well, even how they flipped like the limo and everything like that, and people were like, is this shit real? Like,
yeah.
Is it scripted anymore, or is it, like, legit, you know? So
it was too legit to quit.
It was. I like that. I always thought those were awesome.
I like all the times when they would bring Goldberg in. You know how they kind of put Goldberg on the hero aspect?
Yeah, he was supposed to plow through all those dudes.
Right. So I liked all those moments. Like, I love the NWO, but I like when they would try to gang up on Goldberg and, you know, he would let everybody out like that time. And I like what they would do with Sting, too, because, like, WCW was always Sting's.
Mm-hmm.
And they would let him, you know what I mean?
He was kind of like the savior, the vigilante guy.
Yeah. So I like all those moments because when it got oversaturated with all the members, they kind of like stepped back and they would let the good guy win.
Yeah.
Too,
you know? He would drop down from the ceiling or some shit, or be up in the rafters with that vulture, something like just looking real. Fucking evil, kind of tough looking, you know.
Well, at one point in time, what was it? 90% of them were all NWO. There's only 10% WCW wrestlers. That's it.
But I do like the original moment, like when Hogan came out and he jumped ship. You know, he was in the red and yellow, like we were watching earlier. Like, that's the coolest with him, Nash, and Scott.
I'd say that's probably my favorite moment, too.
Favorite moment.
Other than maybe the crossover with Rodman, because I thought that was really cool.
That was cool, too. That was perfect timing, like with the whole Bulls thing. And remember Malone? Who was Malone with? Karl Malone.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Right.
He had those blue sparkly tights on.
He was the white purple trash trailer park hero.
DDP Yoga. DDP Yoga.
Yeah, shout out to DDP Yoga. You know, you've turned your life around. It's great.
He did.
Dude, he helped Scott Hall.
But what is your favorite moment, Wallace?
I'd say probably Hogan turning.
Okay.
For sure. That's the most impactful, and it started everything, you know?
Yeah.
I just love when they jump people and spray painted them. Every one of those moments are the best.
Everyone when Ric Flair got the shit beat out of him.
Flair was always getting beat up.
He was always getting the brunt of it. He couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. He got sick, fed up with Eric Bischoff. Like, really? You're going to write me in to get beat up by the NWO? A lot of those guys said that, though. Like, Jericho and all them talking about, like, well, every week it was like, who's getting beat up by the NWO? And like, where's this going? You know?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Because what happened is like the whole crew would just beat the shit out of somebody. That was
fun,
it.
Though.
Yeah, well, and they actually had like Kevin Nash and shit booking at the time. Like,
yeah.
And he was the one that booked the end of Goldberg's streak. Like, Scott Hall with the cattle prod. That's another good one.
They did, yeah. He did shock his ass.
Yeah, out of nowhere, dude.
Yeah, I loved Hall. He was always ruining it for everything.
Yeah.
Creeping up.
He was always drinking.
Ankles.
You know?
Fuck yeah.
I liked it.
Steiner.
You guys forgot about the Ready to Rumble.
What was that?
Oh, the movie? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah,
that was Arquette. Well,
I don't remember that.
No, was that one that Arquette?
You don't remember when
David Arquette?
That crazy match?
The triple cage.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
To promote their movie.
Who was in that match?
Because that was NWO 2000. That was when Jeff Jarrett was around.
But that match was so ridiculous.
It was insane. It was, for those of you who don't know, it was basically the idea was a cage stacked on top of another cage.
It was a
birthday cake of cage.
Yeah.
And it was fucking dangerous and ridiculous, dude. And I remember Jeff Jarrett being involved in that match. I think Mike Awesome at the time was in WCW. And he powerbombed someone off that fucking thing, dude.
Did he really?
Rey Mysterio was in that match.
Rey Mysterio.
Conan
was in that match.
Yeah, what the hell was that? It was like the three stages of hell or something. Dude, I don't. David Arquette. Yeah.
The downfall of WCW.
It's not really a horrible flick, you know? I mean, it is what it is.
I watch it still if it's.
I'll give it a shot.
I'm not going to click.
It's a guilty pleasure.
The downfall of WCW is when David Arquette and Jay Leno won the world title.
But that's
another bad booking.
But you know what?
Buzzkills threat like that.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me? Without the NWO,
he's a big eight-legged freaks fan.
Without the NWO, Royal Rumble never.
Ready Rumble would have. Yeah, you're right.
That's how popular that was. Having Hollywood movies
Without the NWO, they were on the Tonight Show and shit. They took over. Hogan and Bischoff came out and straight up took over the Tonight Show.
No, but you know, we were talking about you were you don't want to how people don't want to profess that they're wrestling.
Right. They don't want to admit it because it's not cool anymore.
But you know what? We all grew up on it.
Right.
You know, so real quick, a little bit of side question. My buddy, he's he's a film choreographer. You know, he does the choreography of the fight scenes and stuff. And he's like, you wouldn't believe how many people out there watch wrestling. He's like, I love wrestling. He's like, it's a perfect male soap opera for men, you know? And he's like, I get a lot of my ideas from that stuff too. So it's like, it's funny because people don't admit it, but a lot of people, I guarantee you, low-key watch it.
Oh, yeah.
On Monday, just don't want to talk about it.
Back in the, that's what was so, and I miss those days because, like I said, going in high school, you either watched Raw or Nitro or both, and you came in the next day and you were like, man, did you see what happened last night?
You had so much to talk about.
And it was
the entire
so
week.
Cool, dude. Yep. Like, imagine, and they're starting to get like that now with, stuff they're doing with the Bullet Club. It's not as it's similar in fashion, but it's nothing will ever compare to the Monday Night Wars. Like that was that was ridiculous. And the way it ended, was it was pure slop. And we got jacked around on that Invasion pay-per-view and the whole ECW, WCW team, and it was just all B-list guys,
NWO was the best. Dude.
NWO was. That if you guys, we'll go around. And Joe, who was your favorite? I mean, obviously, I think I know the answer, but your favorite heel stable, just stale out of all of wrestling that you're aware of?
Favorite.
I mean, you could say Four Horsemen, DX, NWO, all of this.
I'd have to go with the Outsiders.
The Outsiders?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all my favorite. That's my favorite.
So, NWO is too broad. You would have to narrow it down.
You could say NWO. Yeah. Whatever. I'm just talking as a whole, a whole unit.
I would say the NWO, but I would also have to say the Outsiders.
You guys are breaking it down into a tag team. Then.
Yeah, is that what you're asking?
I'm asking as a stable, as a group.
Oh, NWO, hands down.
NWO. So both NWO?
Yeah.
NWO, unless we're counting ECW when they were trying to do that whole, invasion thing. Or not invasion, but But I would say for the most part.
The original ECW.
Yeah, original, yeah.
Okay.
But I would say NWO for sure.
100%. Harry, for hire.
Dangerous Alliance.
Oh, I can respect that. Ravishing Rick Rude, Paul Ellering, Steve Austin.
He was in there.
Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson was
Larry Zbyszko too, right?
Z-Man.
And then they had Medusa.
Medusa was
dude, that was cool.
Who was it? The guy from Rock and Roll Express or the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton.
Bobby Eaton, beautiful Bobby Eaton. Yeah. He was so ugly, but he was beautiful. So,
about that, when they would walk in, the camera work, everything about their entrance, they would walk out in a single file line.
Yeah, dude.
And the camera would start at their feet and just Word walk along them. You would just see this awesome parade of Hall of Famers. And that was a badass group when Steve Austin still had his hair long.
Yep.
That was
stunning, Steve.
I
like
stunning
Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov's group.
Okay.
What were they? They were capitalizing off the Cold War people.
Yeah, in the
80s.
The
Iran and Sheik? Iran and Russia. Remember they? Yeah. America hated them in the 80s. But what was their group called? I like them.
I don't know if they. What did they? What was their tag team name?
Anybody? I think they just represented the body of like the country of Iran.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Sheik came out with an Iran flag, and then Nikolai Volkov had the Russian flag.
He was the Russian bear, dude. Yeah.
I know we're awesome. like offshooting, but you remember like when Sheik, the whole like Iraq angle with
Iraqi sympathizer with Sergeant Slaughter. Oh, yeah. He turned his back. He was NWO before NWO. NATO world order.
Was it Macho? Wait, maybe I'm getting these timelines crossed over, but who was it? Like, I keep thinking about that time period where Scepter was smashed into the warrior's face.
Oh, yeah, Macho King. That was with the Macho King. Yeah.
Was that during that timeline we were just talking about?
I think that was, that was around the same time period. Like, no, early 90s. Early 90s.
Yeah.
Like 93.
Because Macho King started when he won the King of the
Ring.
And
he's with Scary Sherry.
Yep.
That was an awesome time in the night. Texas Tornado.
Yeah, Kerry Von Erich.
Oh, God, I love
He wrestled that. With like half a foot for a good long while, and then he killed himself.
The British Bulldog was dope, too.
British Bulldog was tight.
And he had his brother with him. Didn't his brother die or something?
No.
When you started watching wrestling, like, did you, what did you fall in love with? WWE, WCW?
Well, I think it's safe to say probably with all of us in this room, WWF. I was watching wrestling at 5 years old. That and like Nightmare on Elm Street and, you know, Deep Purple, Frank Zappa.
he had all the toys. I remember you had the the doll things. The,
oh my god,
the pillows,
the wrestling buddies.
The wrestling buddies. Thank you.
The rock solid molds that the WCW had with their character.
I had the Sting. And there's where he's just like this.
Yeah,
and the Z-Man
fucking chucking at somebody.
And then Tommy Man, Tommy Zink.
Yeah, the Z-Man. we dig deep here on JP Duh.
Z-Man was the most generic wrestler, and his like figure was just like white. It was white tights and had a Z on the butt.
Yeah. Man, it's so weird you brought him up because I just seen something on him not too long ago. The Z-Man, yeah. They had high hopes for him, but it was like...
You know you're a huge wrestling fan when you're watching documentaries on Tommy Zink or whatever, Z-Man. If you're watching fucking documentaries on the Z-Man, dude, that's pretty...
That's that you're. Man. I should have known by now, dude's a nerd.
So
we're all nerds in here, though, for pro wrestling. It's all good.
Are you a fan of Action Bronson?
I like Action Bronson.
You like Action Bronson? Yeah. I'm going to play... You know, he's a huge wrestling mark.
Yeah, he chokeholds dudes on stage and shit when they get out of hand.
So
he
has Glenn Danzig.
He has a lot of, like... wrestling references to his song. He has a song called like Ron Simmons. Like it's
that's awesome.
I'm gonna give you that before. I'm gonna give you that album.
He sounds exactly like Ghostface. The only thing we're getting off subject.
I know, dude.
That's cool.
I think
fuck
you would
it.
Like it.
He dissed Ghostface, and he sounds just like Ghostface. So Papa Wu scooped him up at a funeral. A rapper died. I don't remember who. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you can't talk about the Wu-Tang like that. And he put him in check. So Action Bronson's like, he was freaked out. Because the Wu-Tang's like the NWO of hip-hop. They will fuck you up.
Hey, exactly. These motherfuckers will kill you, dude.
And then Ghostface went on YouTube and was like, he was threatening him on YouTube. Like, you know, I got my boys. And like,
Action's from Brooklyn, too. Yeah. So it's like,
hey, we all learn from Biggie and Pac. You talk shit, you get killed.
But, get dealt with.
But I'll give him this, though. He makes, like, in this album, he makes, like, references to, like, Marty Jannetty and things like that. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out here today. Big Ed, Harry for Hire, Joey Kane from Musically Meditated Podcast. Yeah. It may be the first crossover between us, but it's not the last.
Not the last.
Dig it. I'd like to, send a shout-out to the Green Door Network. If you guys are out there, subscribe on www.greendoornetwork.com or under the Green Door Network on iTunes, Stitcher, any podcast platform. iTunes. Look up Juice Pro Wrestling on YouTube. If you'd like to tweet us, you can tweet us at JPDubPodcast on Twitter. You can also tweet Joey at Musically Meditated on Twitter at Music Med Podcast. And
don't forget also about
the
check
groups.
Out.
Don't forget about the groups.
No, we're never going to Juice never forget the groups. Juice Pro Wrestling Universe, as it's now known on Facebook.
Like it would sound so much better if you said that in Dusty Rhodes.
The Juice Pro Wrestling Universe.
Just close out the whole podcast.
Yeah, look us up on Facebook. And what's yours for Musically Meditated now?
Musically Meditated listeners.
Okay, we'll check that out. And Ed, you got Region Restaurant reviews?
Yeah, Region Restaurant reviews for sure.
I don't have any.
If this is Plug Central right now, you got plug something to plug. Yeah. Plug it, plug it, plug it, plug
Harry
it.
For Hire just supports. You don't plug. we appreciate that.
Support this podcast.
Right we thank you for that. And I like to thank all you guys for coming on. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, this
is
you know? Yeah.
This is great. A blast.
And this has been Juice Pro Wrestling Episode 9 for Life. I'd like to thank all my guests. You guys tune in every week on the Green Door Network and keep it for real. Hey, guess what, guys?
Wet 'em up.
Wet 'em up. Wet 'em up. Wet 'em up. Wet 'em up. Wet 'em up.